My name is Brianne Sanchez. I am 30 years old. Today is June 13th, 2015, and I am speaking with Robert Emmett Kelly, who is my grandfather. We are recording an interview in the Chicago suburbs at our family reunion. Were you in the military?
Yes, I was.
Where and when did you serve?
I enlisted in, 1941. And I went on inactive duty because I was in college. And they gave me a deferment until I graduated because they needed officers, not bodies to be sacrificed.
They needed the brains and not just the brawn.
Well, you said it, not me.
Okay, and so when did you then go into active service?
It was in 1943, I think it was.
Okay. And you served in the South Pacific?
Yes. But to get to my first assignment was to Northwestern University.
Oh, that sounds rough.
Yeah, especially since I lived in Chicago. I was down at Abbott Hall in the midshipman school.
Okay.
And when they used to call it 90 Day Wonders.
Okay.
Because after 90 days, you got a commission.
Oh.
And so, first assignment was to Abbott Hall.
Okay.
On Michigan Avenue.
Oh. Pretty cush.
It was, right? No complaints. I had two roommates in this Abbott Hall, which was on an addition to the Abbott Hall.
Okay.
So we had two roommates and myself.
Okay.
And then we took courses in gunnery, seamanship, boating and navigation. A whole bunch of courses.
And your role was to identify the planes, right?
Well, that was before then, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Well, and then I graduated in, I think it was June of 43 or 4, one of those, a little hazy now.
Mm-hmm.
And the class I was in, they put me back a class. Because I had bursitis, which is a minor thing.
But, really?
But they sent me back a class. One officer in charge, he said, oh, heck, you got great grades. You can stay in weekends and make it up. And I thought to myself, oh, boy. Because my girlfriend, or fiance, future wife was there in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So this one said, oh, you had seamanship? My God. You stay in weekends and you can make up the class and stay with your class. And the third one was a teetering one with her. His vote counted. So he said, oh, you're so far behind now because this gunnery course is really tough. So I recommend you go back a class. And I said, great. So I moved from Abbott Hall when this class that I was in, every one of them was sent down to Fort Pierce, Florida. And they were in amphibious training, like for storming the beaches.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I would have been in charge of an LCVP with the ramp going down, and you go into the enemy and off the beach, and then the casualty rate was exceptionally high because you were sitting out there on the beach and they were shooting like crazy.
Right.
The Germans. So anyway, they sent me back to the class, the next class, or maybe the 21st one. Everybody there was sent to Ohio State University, which is the exact opposite. And they said, you're going to go to recognition school. So I went to Ohio State for about 3 months. Went to Ohio, the football season was just starting, which wasn't too bad. And they gave us seats on the 50-yard line.
Nice.
So it was very, very nice. And then when I graduated, I was during there, I took recognition courses. So prior to that, over in Europe, we were shooting down our own planes all the time. So they said, you know, it'd be a better idea if we got some guy there that knew the planes so we could tell him not to shoot at him.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to graduate from recognition school. And then they gave me orders to go to San Francisco, to the Montauk, USS Montauk.
Okay.
It was an LSV-6.
Okay.
And so I moved over, I moved over to San Francisco on the train. And when I got there, the ship was there, and I was assigned to it. So it was there's only six of them made LSV. This was the LSV-6, so landing ship vehicles, LSV.
Okay.
Prior to that, they had LST tanks, but the tanks, the boat was too shallow, the draft of the boat, to get into the beach. So they said, we got to get the tanks in there somehow. So the LSV had a whole empty deck, and they had a ramp that went down in the front.
Okay.
The back. The back, all the LSVs were in the front. So when loaders, they took some tanks over. So the first stop we were at was Guadalcanal.
Okay.
And we just had to look out for submarines, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Because our ship was big, 453 feet long.
Wow.
And it looked like a cruiser. So the Japanese said, well, it's worth wasting a torpedo if we get something that big. So we survived that, you know, all the submarines. And we ended up in, we had to get over to Okinawa for one of the battles. And we were in New Orleans.
Okay.
And the Navy is very strict about rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you break a rule, you're up the creek.
Without a paddle.
Without a paddle. So we were anchored off in the Mississippi, right off of New Orleans.
Okay.
And the ship had liberty.
So that means that you could go... New Orleans.
The crew did that.
Okay.
And I had the duty, and I was officer of the deck, which means I was the head honcho on the ship.
Okay.
So, there was two of us there, junior officer of the deck and myself.
Okay.
So, the Liberty boat was coming back, and it was... Mississippi runs very swiftly.
Okay.
It looks like it's a little puddle creek, but it's very strong. Well, anyway, the ship was, I was at the gangway at the bottom of the deck, bottom of the gangway, and there was a landing there where the ship was, the boat, Liberty boat had come in to tie up. And they would, the crew would, you know, hold it there while the Liberty Party jumped on board on this little gangway that we had.
Okay.
Like a deck.
Okay.
One of the guys...
Was it late at night then they were coming back?
Oh, about 10 o'clock, I guess.
10 o'clock, okay.
Well, one guy was, I think he had a few beers. His name was Kelly, I'll never forget that. And he jumped off the...
His first name or his last name?
Last name.
Oh, okay.
So it's, he jumped from the boat up on the gangway. It was like a little deck. And he slipped and he fell. And he went right in the Mississippi. And before I knew it, he was floating down the river. It was so fast. So I said to the coxswain in the boat there, I was still on the deck, and I said, go after him. And the kid was only 18. He froze, you know. So I jumped off the gangway, which is against the rules. And I left my post, which is the unforgivable sin. So I got in the boat, and I wasn't the best boatsman, but I was adequate. So I took command of this little LCVB. It has a ramp in the front. So a couple other fellows and myself, we went after this guy who's floating down the river.
Oh,
and I'm trying to, you know, get ahead of him.
Yeah.
So we could pick him up as he floated by. And that worked somehow.
It did?
And we got him back in. And we went back to the gangway. And brought him in and dried him out. And the next morning, they called me up and said, did you leave the deck? I said, yes, sir, I went after this guy who was floating down.
Sure.
They said, you left your post. I said, you might say that. And he said, that's a court-martial offense, leaving your post. So I said, well, I thought going after this guy was more important. Nothing's more important than the rules of the regulation.
Sure.
So next thing you know, they were debating whether to put me on court-martial and see if I should go to prison or what, anything. So the...
Were you scared?
I was.
Was that the most scared that you were during the war, or
Oh, no. Or
when you were in a battle?
When the battles.
Okay.
Those kamikazes.
Sure.
They were more. This was on their way
a
over.
Different kind of fear.
Yeah. So anyway, they did not court-martial me.
Why do you think they didn't court-martial you?
I don't know.
Again, another fortunate twist of fate.
Yeah. You might say that. So anyway, after that, we pulled up anchor and went over to Okinawa, where we were supposed to have a battle on Easter Sunday, which we did. It was on Easter Sunday, and steak and eggs, steak for breakfast. And then we waited for the invasion to come in.
So you knew that this was going to happen?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was, they were going to, the Japanese were going to invade Okinawa because they needed that for their base.
Mm-hmm. So you had to watch for the planes, the Japanese planes coming in, and then...
And then they came in and killed all. This little fleet that I was assigned to had about 3,000 ships put to it.
3,000 ships?
Yeah.
Not just 3,000 men?
3,000 ships.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of them got sunk with these kamikazes, you know, these airplanes. But we survived that, and I read afterwards, I read the orders. We were sent there as a diversion. We said, they sent us in, and they said, okay, you're here. And the plane. Marines are coming in, shoot them down. Like, we were, they came after us because we were the diversion.
So what else was going on then? What were they diversion from?
We were there, and then the planes came after us.
Okay.
Rather than the battleships.
Okay.
So we were small, you know.
Okay.
So anyway, that...
My favorite story that you tell is kind of a more lighthearted one of your role, was that you had to train all these guys, and you had all the slides, and that sometimes you'd slip in pictures of some naughty pictures to make sure everyone was paying attention.
Yeah, my instructor there was a fellow named Vargas. He was something like the Petty Girl, you know. He was an artist.
Oh.
So he made some slides of nudes. And then I would flip at a tenth of a second or a hundredth of a second. And I'd say, they say, we can't see that. It's too fast. And I'd flip out a nude. They'd say, wow. And I said, I thought you couldn't see.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So they said, okay.
Do you feel like you made friendships in the war that were different from friendships outside of that experience?
Oh, yeah, but I never kept in touch with anybody after.
Really? Why is that?
I don't know. Because they would be fleeting, you know?
Mm.
I know I had some good friend. One Liberty, we were in Houston, dry dock, and the ship was in dry dock being repaired, and the senior officer and I were watching, we were on duty. It's another moment when we left the ship. We said, there's nothing here, it's in dry dock. There's a tavern right over there. So we went over to the tavern and had scotches. Soda. And the bartender lady said, you're killing yourself. What do you mean? Here, take a scotch. So they poured a shot and they dumped in oysters, you know. We ordered a dozen oysters with the scotch.
Oh.
And we dipped one of them in the scotch glass, and she banging against the bar with, like, hard as a rock. She said, that's what's happening in your stomach. Is that right? Give us another dozen.
And then you went on the honor flight a couple of years ago, right?
Oh, that's later.
Right. Well, that's much later. But what was that experience like so many years afterwards?
That was amazing. My daughter, Kathy, Aunt Kathy, she arranged for it. And she came with us. What it was they put 93 veterans on this airplane in Chicago and flew us to Washington, and everything was a deluxe. We had breakfast there in Midway at 5 o'clock in the morning. Then we flew to Washington, and when we got there, they had a water cannon, which is a very, very rarely if we can, like it's a salute.
Mm-hmm.
So the plane landed at Dulles, and we pulled in there, and then all the fire engines came out and with their big cannons and with the water, and they, you know, put it like an arch.
Nice.
And that was, they call that a water salute. And then during that day, they took us everywhere. To the monument, World War II monument.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the Iwo Jima one, and then the Lincoln Memorial. And then at night, we back to the airport, and they fed us again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put us on a plane going back to Chicago.
When you were out there and you saw those memorials, did you think about what it was that made you survive?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. Good, clean living. No, but anyway, we landed back at Midway, and this was the most touching, most amazing thing. It was about 2,000-3,000 people. Yeah, the ones that landed, they had the whole airport, you know, fire engine squads and coming out with all their sirens and lights and what have you. And they brought us in and went through the airport, which, you know, it was thousands of people there. And they all said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, something.
Did you have that kind of reception when you came home from the war?
No.
No? What was it like when you came home the first time?
Good question. I flew back from Charleston, I think. Oh,
no parade, nothing. No.
Just got off the plane.
And then you were a civilian again, and
yep.
It was life resumed, and you went to work as a teacher?
Yep. That's exactly right.
Wow. But it would never be the same with it.
No. So anyway, I went back as a teacher, and then I got promoted to downtown with my good friend Ellen Bogan. I took other courses, you know. So that was it.
How was it? What was your strongest memory from your time in the military?
Those planes coming at us, diving, you know, and missing. They were hitting a lot of them around us. I think there was 3,500 that sunk.
Wow.
On this diversionary thing. So they came after us at pretty hard. So after about a week or 10 days, we went back to Hawaii and then back to San Francisco.
Well, thank you for sharing this story with me, Grandpa.
Well, yeah, then they put us on minesweeping duty when we got back.
Oh, that doesn't sound very fun.
No, it wasn't. We had parabanes, which are the things that hang out the side of the ship, and they snap the lines, or the lines, and then you'd explode them, you know, so they wouldn't hit the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
high risk, too.
It was high risk. Well, that's about the story.
Thank
and
you,
then
Grandpa.
I came back and got married, and we won.
And here we are in 2015.
With the house with children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
Well, I'm really glad that you got to stay back, get held back a grade.
So am I.
All right. Thanks, Grandpa.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
All right. We did it.